At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Another packed show for you guys. We're going to get into a bunch today. We continue our college football and NFL previews today. We look at the Oklahoma Sooners in college football. Jenny Carlson standing by. Get her thoughts on the Sooners. Also going to look at the New York Jets today as we finish up our preview on the AFC East. It's obviously trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. Getting to that a little bit. Also talk some golf. It is a tee it up Tuesday as the Olympics begin out in Paris for golf on Thursday. We'll have Matt Horner join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. And then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, as always, you can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, especially anything on Oklahoma. Send in your questions and let us know what is on your guys' mind. And if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses and sessions, get this thing rolling. Go to the Glasser guest line. We are joined by Jenny Carlson. Give her a follow on X at Jenny Carlson underscore OK, sports columnist for Beyond the Box Score. And Jenny, we were talking a little bit off air about Oklahoma entering the SEC, how tough of a schedule that they have. I'll ask you about the schedule in a little bit, but just what's the excitement level there in Norman around Oklahoma and joining the SEC?
This is a move that's been 3 years in the making. I mean, let's be honest. 3 years ago this summer, we heard news that Oklahoma and Texas were wanting to move to the SEC. So they've had 3 years to get ready. And a lot of it's been, you know, sort of, it's in the back of everyone's minds. But this summer, it's become real. July 1st was the official move date. Greg Sankey was in town. All of the SEC network shows originated from Norman. So the chance to see that OU and the SEC logos side by side, I think, started to make it more real. Then SEC Media Day, and you see Oklahoma on the same stage as Georgia, Alabama, obviously their Texas brethren are there as well. So I think it's just bit by bit has really kind of stepped Sooner fans even closer to the reality of being in the SEC. Obviously, that'll come to be, you know, in their faces on September 21 when Tennessee comes to town, and a familiar face on the Vols sideline as Josh Heupel, the former Sooner quarterback, leads Tennessee. But, you know, I think it's just been step by step. The excitement, the anticipation is growing. People are very stoked about this move and just all of the different opponents that will be on the schedule, all the different doors that have been opened. I think it's definitely a lot of excitement around Norman.
And how big of a year do you think this is for Brett Venables, right? First year he goes 6-7. Last year there's improvement. They go 10-3. Odds makers have the Sooners win total at 7.5, so they're expecting them to win like 7-8 games this season, which feels about right. What are expectations for Brent Venables in year one in the SEC?
Yeah, I think they're better than they were, you know, when he first got here. This was a program that had really been built around what Lincoln Riley and his offense did best. They were offense heavy. They scored a ton of points, and the defense wasn't very good. I mean, some of the things that we've seen at Southern Cal with, you know, having to fire Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator out there. He was the defensive coordinator in Norman. Just didn't have a great defense, had maybe an improving defense, you know, had seen some steps forward under Alex Grinch, but not big steps and not enough steps forward to have a defense that could go into the SEC. So I think that Brent Venables, when he arrived, he had his work cut out for him to make this team more SEC capable. There's been a lot of talk about SEC ready around here. Is Oklahoma SEC ready? We're about to find out. But I think they're more ready under Brent Venables because he has gone out and improved that talent, that personnel on defense. So I think, you know, it does have a lot of bearing on Brent Venables. This is obviously his, you know, his defense. That's his strength. So I think that they need to perform well. But I think everybody recognizes that, as you mentioned earlier, PJ, this is a very tough schedule. So, yes. You know, the fact that Oklahoma's walking into the SEC, that's going to be a challenge in and of itself. But then this schedule, I don't know that anybody's looking for Oklahoma to go 11-1. I don't think Brent Venables has got to, you know, win double digits regular season to keep his job or anything like that. But I do think they need to show that they've got a defense that is at least getting where it needs to be able to compete in the SEC.
And we know that Venables is a defensive guy. He was there with Dabo and Clemson for a decade. He had a ton of success there. They won national championships together, and they made strides last season. Jenny, I saw that OU's returning 11 of their top 13 tacklers from last season, so they have a ton of experience on that side of the ball. I think you're right. We're so used to Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley and how much points they put up. It might be an adjustment to see like Oklahoma have a good defense, but do you expect them to be, you know, towards the top half of the SEC on defense this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. And obviously they've been in the Big 12 where, you know, points aplenty come at you every week. And so the fact that they've dealt with that, obviously it's going to be a different look. The SEC has also become very quarterback centric. I thought it was interesting at SEC Media Day, nearly every team brought their quarterback, and there was only one team, Florida, that brought a running back. You know, this is a league, the SEC, that's known for sort of that tough guy football, the ground and pound. And not to say that there aren't good running backs around the SEC, but you're just so used to thinking about the SEC as a league of, you know, guys like Derrick Henry, that only one team bringing a running back just feels wrong somehow. But this is a defense that they're accustomed to defending the teams that want to throw it around and score a bunch of points. And they're going to have a chance to lean on guys like Billy Bowman and Danny Stutzman, who were first team all SEC selections. Bowman also an All-American last year, probably the best player on this Oklahoma team in that defensive secondary, really talented defender, does really pretty much everything well in that secondary. And Stutzman at linebacker, again, first team all conference in the preseason, which is kind of a surprise because there are so many good linebackers in the SEC. I didn't know if being a first timer on the ballot would, you know, allow Danny Stutzman to take a spot on that first team, but there he was. Those are two guys that probably could have gone in the NFL draft a year ago, probably could have, you know, put their names in and been draft picks, maybe not high draft picks, but draft picks nonetheless. So the fact that they've got those two guys back, I think, is really important in this defense. And I think that's crucial because their defensive line, much like their offensive line, not very experienced. And those are two areas that you don't want to be inexperienced in the SEC. So I think having some guys that can anchor the defense in Stutzman and Bowman is going to be big for this Oklahoma defense.
And then on the offensive side of the ball, Jenny, people that follow college football have known about the name Jackson Arnold. We know what a high recruit he has been. This is his year, obviously, followed Dylan Gabriel last year. We saw a glimpse of him in the bowl game. We saw him do some good things. He did have some turnovers as well. What do you expect from Jackson Arnold this season as Oklahoma tries to navigate that difficult schedule?
Yeah, a guy that was considered the best quarterback in his recruiting class, and so a lot of expectations, you know, high caliber high school player. He sat behind Dylan Gabriel a year ago, and I think a lot of people expected that Dylan Gabriel would go to the NFL and then got his grades, and it wasn't really, I don't think, what he wanted, so he wanted another college season. And it's still sort of strange to me that you've got a guy in Dylan Gabriel who was, you know, first team all conference a year ago. He's probably going to be a guy that'll be in the Heisman conversation out at Oregon, and he leaves, and most Oklahoma Sooners, you know, they were just like, okay, moving on. And I just thought it was bizarre that as you head into the SEC and you've got a chance to have a quarterback who's experienced and really good to lead your offense, and he leaves and you're like, meh, we'll move on. I think that speaks to the hopes and dreams that a lot of Sooners have for Jackson Arnold and just what he can become. You know, I think there was a possibility if Dylan Gabriel sticks around that Jackson Arnold might have transferred out to find an opportunity somewhere else. So I think getting a chance to be the starter was important to him. And now he's going to have to navigate being a first-year starter, full-time starter in the toughest conference in college football. He's going to have to manage as much of the mental as he is the physical, because the ups and downs that come with every first-year starter are there regardless of conference. If he was still in the Big 12, he'd have times where he was great and then he'd nosedive and not be great. And how he manages those now in the SEC is going to be so important to the Sooners' hopes to have a good year in their first year in this league. So, you know, the mental game to me, I think that's the biggest thing. Not to say that I doubt it, but I think it's one of those things that being an inexperienced first-year starter in college football, there's just part of it that's going to have to take some time. And so I think there will be rough patches, but how he navigates those, I think that's going to be really important to Oklahoma's hopes.
All right, Jenny. So we got a defense that returns a ton of production, an offense, and a quarterback with a ton of upside potential, a head coach entering his third year, but arguably maybe the most difficult schedule in the SEC on paper. What is your prediction for the Sooners for the upcoming year?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a very tough schedule. If the preseason national polls go like I think they might, there could be six opponents on Oklahoma's SEC schedule that are ranked in the top 15 in the preseason. I mean, this is a brutal schedule. Games that a couple years ago you might have looked at and said, okay, that's a winnable game for Oklahoma, they aren't as easily obvious on the schedule anymore. Even a game like the OU game at Missouri, you know, Missouri has a great year a year ago. They've got a fairly easy SEC schedule. And when Oklahoma gets to Columbia for that game, depending on how Missouri plays, they could be easily a top 10 team or even a top 5 team. So that's the type of game that, you know, when you looked at it a couple years ago, you'd have thought, all right, that's where Oklahoma can find some wins. Now there aren't a ton of obvious wins on this SEC schedule. So I think 8-4 is, I think that's kind of where I see the top end for this team. I wouldn't be surprised to see 7-5. I just have so many questions about Oklahoma's lines of scrimmage. I mentioned the defensive line a minute ago. The offensive line has been a strength over the last few years. Bill Beedenbow, their offensive line coach, has sent tons of guys to the NFL, and they've been good historically, but they've got a largely rebuilt offensive line this year. They lost some guys to graduation, lost some to the transfer portal. They've brought several in from the transfer portal, but how Bill Beedenbow constructs an offensive line with a lot of transfers, something he really hasn't done over the years because he's had so many of his own guys that have maturated up through the program from high school to be those starters. This is going to be interesting to see how he handles that. So I just have so many questions about how Oklahoma is going to play on the offensive line and the defensive line. I just have a hard time going to 9-3. I think they've got the potential to get there, but man, 8-4 seems like kind of where I feel most comfortable with this team this year.
It's going to be a tough schedule. I'm excited to watch Jackson Arnold and see Oklahoma in their first year in the SEC. She's Jenny Carlson. Give her a follow on X at Jenny Carlson underscore OK, sports columnist for Beyond the Box Score. Jenny, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the season. Enjoy the Olympics as well. And we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, PJ. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, keeping it rolling here on Send It In as we continue talking about the Oklahoma Sooners. And as you guys can see on your screen, Jenny and I were talking about it a bunch, but the schedule, we've done so many of these previews, and a lot of times when I'm handicapping win totals or I'm handicapping these teams to win the division, so much of it comes down to the schedule. And guys, look at this gauntlet that Oklahoma has. At Auburn, at Ole Miss, at Missouri, at LSU, all those teams are going to be ranked in the preseason outside of Auburn, but we know what a tough place Jordan-Hare is to play. Then your home games. Your home against Bama, who's going to be ranked. Your home against Tennessee, who's going to be ranked. Home against South Carolina, and then obviously the Texas game is a Red River. So right now, odds makers, BetMGM, 7.5 wins for Oklahoma. The over is minus 120, and the under is plus 100. If I had to make a play, I think I would go the under here. This is year three under Brett Venables. A lot of production on the defensive side of the ball. Jackson Arnold is an extremely, he's got a lot of great potential, extremely talented quarterback. The receiving core is very good, running back. Jenny mentioned that last point, though, towards the end. The line of scrimmage, especially the offensive line for Oklahoma, is where I have a big concern. And when you are in the Big 12, maybe you can get away with not having a great offensive line week to week. When you're in the SEC and you have that schedule that Oklahoma does, it's going to be much tougher. So I would probably go under 7.5 wins on Oklahoma for the upcoming season. That schedule is just really, really tough for OU. 40-1 to win the SEC. Obviously wouldn't touch that. For them to make the college football playoff at 5-1, wouldn't bet that either. 66-1 to win the national championship. Jackson Arnold is 35-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. If you are a believer in Oklahoma, if you think they get to 9-10 wins this year, and he puts together a spectacular season, maybe that could be worth a bet at 35-1. Nobody's really talking about Jackson Arnold. I think a big reason is because not a lot of us expect Oklahoma to win enough games for him to be in Heisman consideration. But if they are one of the surprise teams in the SEC this year, he's certainly going to have plenty of Heisman moments. He's going to play in plenty of big games. So if they do win 9 or 10 games this year, Arnold at 35-1 might not be a terrible play. For me, though, the bet that I would make, under 7.5 wins on Oklahoma, especially getting into even money plus 100, that is the bet that I would make. All right, let's talk some NFL now as we go to the New York Jets here on Send It In, our final team that we're talking about in the AFC East. And last year, the New York Jets had a very difficult schedule. This year, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt for the entire season, with them finishing third in their division, schedule isn't as tough for the upcoming year for the Jets. Their toughest game is going to be week one at the 49ers. I do like the Jets in that game, +5.5. I think there's a good chance that they could win it outright. Just the storylines, narrative Peach play, Aaron Rodgers likely playing his final game in the Bay Area where he grew up, where he went to school at the University of Cal, returning to Monday Night Football, where obviously he tore his Achilles in the first drive of the game last year. Robert Saleh, the head coach for the Jets, going up against his former employer in the Niners and Kyle Shanahan when he was the DC there. So there's a lot of things, narrative-wise, that I kind of like for the Jets in that game. I think they could play it tough. Then you play the Titans, you play the Patriots, you play the Broncos, you play the Vikings. All of these teams are thought to be the worst teams in their division. So right after the Niners, the Jets got a very favorable schedule. I like the way that it sets up for them. Right now, if you're looking at win totals, anywhere between 9.5, 10.5 for Jets. 9.5, the over is minus 150. 10.5 wins for the Jets. The under is minus 155. Vegas sees the Jets as like a 10-win football team. I think that's right. They are my pick to win the division this year. I know a lot of people are down on Buffalo. I think it's going to be between Buffalo and the Jets. New England's got a long way to go. The Miami Dolphins, it feels like a lot of people have different opinions on Miami. The way that I feel about Miami, I think Mike McDaniel's an excellent offensive mind. I just don't think he's a very good leader of men. I don't think he's a good head coach. And the Dolphins are the kind of team, we talked about them a couple days ago. The stat that you need to know about Miami, teams that made the playoffs last year, they were 1-5 against them. Teams that didn't, they were 10-1 in those games. So Miami beats who they're supposed to beat. They don't beat the top-tier teams. The Jets, with Rodgers having a chip on his shoulder, not playing in 2 years, proving to people that he's still an elite quarterback, and the Jets with a top five defense in the NFL. They've revamped that offensive line. A lot of credit to them. They addressed that in the offseason. Got Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, John Simpson. They still got Garrett Wilson there, who's a great receiver. Breece Hall is going as one of the top backs in fantasy football this year as well. So if the Jets can stay relatively healthy, with Rodgers being obviously the most important piece, I think the Jets have a chance to have a very good season. I really don't know what Robert Saleh is yet as a head coach. When he was the defensive coordinator as the 49ers, he was such a passionate, fiery guy. Every time San Francisco would get a turnover or make a big stop, you just see him going nuts on the sideline. And it just feels like Zach Wilson the last couple of years has sucked the life out of him. So with the Jets getting this start to their schedule, with them getting the Niners in week one, him going against his former team, and then playing their next four games against all teams that are picked to finish last in their division, I think if the Jets get off to a good start, this team starts feeling good about themselves, we start to see Robert Saleh get some of that fire that he had with him in San Francisco, I think the Jets could have a good season. So I will take them to win this division at plus 180. That is my favorite bet regarding the New York Jets. All right, let's talk some golf. It is a Tee It Up Tuesday, and they are teeing it up this week out in Paris for the Olympics. Love Olympic golf. It's so cool. You get a great field. Usually the majors are the only time where we get to see the LIV and the PGA Tour together, but the Olympics, we get that as well. Jon Rahm will be teeing it up over in LIV. Obviously, no Bryson DeChambeau. Much has been made about that. It's going to be Wyndham Clark instead of him. Scottie Scheffler is your favorite. No surprise. Plus 400. Xander Schauffele coming off of his second major of the year is plus 550. Then you got Rory at plus 850. Morikawa, Rahm at 11-1. Ludwig at 12-1. Plenty of firepower in this field. Le Golf National is where they're playing. 7,174-yard golf course, par 71. A lot of times when we're breaking down and we're handicapping these different golf courses, different courses ask you to do certain amount of things. And this course specifically, accuracy is going to be more important this week than distance. This course has a lot of water danger all over the golf course. Of the 18 holes, 10 of them have water hazards on the course. We've seen some big events here in the past. We've seen them play the Ryder Cup here in 2018. They play the DP World Tour event at this course every single year. Accuracy always reigns supreme over power. So a lot of the top guys in the field, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Jon Rahm, obviously these are powerful hitters. That's how they separate themselves from some of the other guys in the field. But I think because this week it's going to be more about accuracy than it is about power, I think it opens up to some more guys at the field. Right away, the guy that jumps out to me is Colin Morikawa at 11-1. Colin's played the best of anybody this season that doesn't have a win yet on the PGA Tour. It feels like he's been contention in just about all the majors. He hasn't broken through yet. And this course, again, you got to be accurate. Colin's not the longest hitter, but he's very accurate. He's such a good iron player, and I think this course should set up really well for him. So I'm rocking with Colin this week at 11-1. Tommy Fleetwood, I will never bet to win a golf tournament. Can't ever get there with him. However, I do think the value with Tommy this week is to look at a top 10 finish with him at plus 125. Tommy's one of the most accurate golfers on tour off of the tee. He's a very good iron player. He's got a good short game as well. This is a difficult golf course. You have a chance to make a lot of big numbers on a lot of these holes because of how much water is lurking. Don't want to bet Tommy to win, but I will take him at plus 125 to finish in the top 10. Then a couple of long shots that I like. Ben Ahn at 45-1 is a guy that I would look at. Reading about this course, a lot of people say that this is designed like a Florida-style golf course. And looking at earlier this season on the PGA Tour, Ben Ahn had a couple of top 15 finishes when the PGA Tour was out in Florida, so he was very comfortable on those style of golf courses. And again, got to be accurate this week, got to be a good ball striker. When Ben Ahn is right, he is a very good iron player. I think the value there at 45-1 is good. And then you guys know I love me a good narrative play. I'm sprinkling a little something on Wyndham Clark as well at 45-1. Bryson DeChambeau should have been the fourth pick for the U.S. in the Ryder Cup. I mean, let's be honest, he won a major this year. He's probably the second or third best player in the world right there with Xander and Scotty. But Wyndham Clark instead got the nod for Team USA, and everybody's pissed about it, and everybody thinks that Wyndham is going to let the team down this week. So it's just very sports. It's very golf. for Wyndham to go out and have a very good week. So it is a narrative play. Again, Wyndham is a bomber, so he's not the ideal guy you want on this course. You rather want somebody more accurate than you would with distance. But just for the narrative play, I'll ride with a little something on Wyndham Clark at 45-1. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner. Get some best bets for today. And Matt, we will start with the BetQL model. What are their five-star bets on this Tuesday?
Yeah, so the model is loving the Dodgers tonight, which I disagree with. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But the model loves it. It has the Dodgers should be favored at minus 211. They're minus 130 right now. So obviously, it's going to give that as a five-star play. Lots of value there. Loves Tyler Glasnow on the mound. He's fantastic, due for positive regression. But I'll explain in a second why I don't like that as much.
All right, very good. Well, Matt, I assume you're on the other side of the BetQL model in that Dodgers game. So what are you liking?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Padres on the money line here, the exact opposite. I like getting the plus money on San Diego because I think they're the better team, honestly, overall than the Dodgers right now. Dodgers lineup pretty devastated with injuries and such. Freddie Freeman probably won't be playing tonight. He's a left-handed bat, taking on a right-hander in Matt Waldron. Waldron, I think, is kind of underrated in the market a lot. He's a knuckleball pitcher, which he's got a very unique arsenal. But he doesn't allow a lot of hard contact. He has a 0.99 home runs through nine rate. So honestly, I view him as more of an average pitcher, but for his unique type of skill set, I don't think he's that bad at all. And getting plus money here on a Padres team that has the better defense. They're seventh in XFIP in the bullpen. I just think they're all around a much better team. Base running, they have the advantage as well. I just think they're the better team right now than Los Angeles. They do have Glasnow on the mound, but overall, give me the Padres here at plus money tonight.
Matt, I agree with you. I was talking with Lucy Burge yesterday, and I bet the Padres over the weekend to win the World Series at 45-1. That lineup is really, really good, and I agree. I think right now they are the better team than the Dodgers. We obviously got the Olympics going on. I'm watching the gymnastics right here. We got soccer going on so much. Matt, have you done anything with the Olympics? Do you have any bets either today or maybe over the next couple days?
Yeah, so the United States men's team is a 29.5-point favorite against South Sudan. A lot of people are going to love taking South Sudan here because they kept it close before, and it's kind of a public team right now. You know, they beat Puerto Rico. People love South Sudan and that story. But I'm going to take the United States to crush them by 30 or more. They're just much more talented, and I don't think they're going to be lackadaisical here. I think they're going to come in, and they're going to lay the hammer down on South Sudan. They're a great story. They are. But I think the USA, they just get it done.
I think that's a good look. I like that as well. Matt, today we finished up the AFC East preview. We finished with the New York Jets today. A lot of different opinions in this division, right? Some people like the Jets. Some people like the Bills, Dolphins as well. I'm on the Jets to win this division. I think it could come down between Buffalo or New York. Who do you like in the AFC East this year?
Yeah, so last year I was on the Dolphins here in this division. I really liked them. But this year I'm going to go with the team that people have loved in previous years and now they're starting to lay off of, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are a team, like I just said, everybody loved them the previous couple years, but now it seems like their window is closing for contention. But that's when I want to bet a team, when nobody else is betting them. I was reading recently at BetMGM how they're offering some value there, but not a lot of people are biting with the Buffalo Bills. And this, I feel like, is a time where a buy low spot on the Bills, and I think they can have a lot of success this year. And I agree with you. The Jets are probably going to be their biggest competition in the division. As long as Aaron Rodgers is the same Aaron Rodgers that we've seen before coming off an Achilles, he's kind of a question mark for me. I don't know what he's going to be. But the Bills, I still think, are the best team in this division. And when the public doesn't love them, I love them.
Matt, that's why I like you, my friend, because we think alike in that way. My old saying is I love people, I hate the public. So I am with you there. Matt, appreciate the time, sir. Good luck on your bets today, and we'll talk again soon.
Sure. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, let's wrap the show. Give out some best bets for today. Our guy B Mills is in the chat. How does PJ like the A's and the Giants total over 7.5 tonight? B-Mills, I can tell you, I was looking at that game, kind of do like the over, right? So it's a low total. Obviously, they're playing in San Francisco. It's a night game. Ball isn't going to carry. J.P. Sears going up against Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is working his way back from injury. Sears has not been great for the A's this year. He's pitched a little better as of late. I do think the over has some value, though. So I don't know if it's an official bet for me, but if I had to make the play, I would lean to that over in the A's and the Giants. As for going streaking today, how about Bobby Witt getting four hits for us yesterday? Guys, just on an absolute tear. Well, Patrick Corbin is pitching today, and usually if you just take the best hitter going up against Patrick Corbin, tends to work out pretty well for you. Ketel Marte's 5-for-12 in his career against Corbin. He's batting .299 this season. Ketel Marte is my guy in going streaking. My prop lock, as I talked about it, Tommy Fleetwood, top 10, plus 125 in the Olympics on Thursday. I'm not taking Tommy to win, but I think he can be in contention. The course should set up very well for him. Dog of the day, give me the Yankees, plus 100 against the Phillies. Gerrit Cole against Aaron Nola, good pitching matchup tonight. Gerrit Cole's last start, he gave up 6 earned runs. I think he bounces back today. Yankees are swinging the bat really well. I will take the Yanks, plus 100. Shawnee Sharp is going with the D-backs, minus a half. Run line, first 5. Happy Patrick Corbin Day, everybody. Enough said. My best bet will be the New York Jets to win the AFC East at plus 180. I like Matt's logic on the Bills. If you guys watched the show earlier this week, you know that I do like Josh Allen to win the MVP. And if the Bills win the AFC East, he's got a good chance at winning that award. So I could see the case for the Bills, but I'm going to rock with the Jets at plus 180. Once again, our best bets for today. Ketel Marte will be our pick in going streaking. Tommy Fleetwood, top 10, plus 125 will be our prop lock. That starts on Thursday. Yankees, our dog of the day, plus 100. Gerrit Cole in a bounce back, and the Jets to win the AFC East at plus 180 will be my best bet. Thanks again to Jenny Carlson, Matt Horner for joining the show today. We got another stacked one tomorrow talking the Miami Dolphins and, or excuse me, the Miami Hurricanes. I already talked the Dolphins. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.